News Talk Breakfast. In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.
And in a couple of moments, we're going to be talking to Sinead Gibney, Chief Commissioner of the Irish Human Rights and Equality Commission, about something we have kind of locked horns on, I think it's fair to say, this morning. Their concerns about COVID-19 restrictions. Look, Ciara, I'm going to lay out my stall on this. I think this is a load of hokum, quite frankly. I think we're worrying about nothing. I don't really get what the concern is here. Yes, of course, there's been restrictions on our civil rights, our human rights, I suppose, because, you know, we're confined to 5 kilometres from our houses. I don't need to list the restrictions. You all know them. But, like, so what? What is the big deal?
I think it is a big deal, Shane. I think I would argue very strongly that I'm glad to finally see somebody say this. I should point out that the Human Rights Commission are saying that they think there is justification for many of the regulations that have been brought in, but they are concerned about the erosion of procedural safeguarding. They are concerned about the fact that NPHET has become a de facto decision maker in this country. They're not elected. They are not representative. And I do worry.
The government and the government make decisions based on their advice.
Yeah, but we all know that the government now are enthralled to NPHET because they're terrified of acting without public health advice. The reality of it is this, is I understand why restrictions are in place, and I don't rail against them per se, but I want us to at least frame them through the prism of how important it is, our democratic rights, our civil liberties, our human rights. Those things matter to us.
When we go through all that, what will be
so should we just throw them in the bin without even a mention, without even a debate? But we debate rubbish in the Dáil about hair coursing and all sorts of things,
great,
and nobody is discussing this fundamental principle of how we live our lives.
Look here, have the debate, but it's not going to change. This reminds me of, you know, the old adage, it's all very well in practice. How's it going to work in theory?
No, I don't agree with you. I am actually surprised at how easily we have, I suppose, rolled over to these restrictions without debate. And I'm not saying there isn't justification. I totally think that the Human Rights Commission have it right here. We need to protect our civil liberties. They were hard won and they'll be fast lost, and if they are gone and we see them in the rearview mirror, we will regret it for the rest of our lives and generations to come.
Is this not the intellectual equivalent of howling at the moon? Like, we all know we need to have these restrictions. Like, what do we want? What actually are we saying
here?
We are
protecting ourselves from erosions of our civil liberties that we may never get back.
Of course we're going to get them back. The government, the day one that they're able to get rid of these restrictions, of course they will. No government wants to keep
these
restrictions.
Do you accept that we should have safeguards put in place to make sure we get them back? Which is all that's been said.
I think there is zero danger to long term or medium term to our human rights. Zero from
we
COVID.
Have seen autocracy creeping in around the world, and do not tell me that governments would not be willing to use
Ryan, Micheál Martin, Leo Varadkar,
and they won't always be in power.
Exactly,
if you have
Putin.
These things on the statute books, the erosion of civil liberties, the erosion of democracy is a possibility, and autocracy is a real threat to democracy. And I do
there's
not believe
no, zero
I do not
zero,
believe for a moment
COVID,
that we can
whatever about zero COVID, there is zero threat to our democracy.
53106 at a cost of 30 cent here on News Talk Breakfast. Shane and I are going to agree to disagree quite strongly on this one.
Okay, well, someone who I assume will agree with you, Ciara, is Sinead Gibney, Chief Commissioner of the Irish Human Rights and Equality Commission. Sinead, tell us what your concerns are.
Good morning, and it's great to hear the lively debate between the two of you. This report sets out some concerns around three key areas. First and foremost, the blurred boundaries between health advice and legal obligation. Our research shows that government has blurred the boundaries between what is expected of people in terms of enforced legal obligations and what they are setting out as public health advice or guidance, if you like. And that is causing confusion among some people. We also have found that there is potential for these for the enforcement powers to disproportionately affect certain groups in the community. And unfortunately, we can't yet measure that because we do not have the data from Agarda Síochána. They have resisted repeated calls from both ourselves in the Irish Human Rights and Equality Commission and from the Policing Authority to publish that data. And finally, that there are defects in the lawmaking and review processes. So as Ciara was referring to, we need to have better scrutiny and oversight at Oireachtas level of all of the emergency powers and legislations that are being brought into force.
Okay, all right, let's deal with some of them. Let's deal with the disproportionately affecting certain groups. I mean, that's inevitable that it's going to disproportionately affect certain groups because there will be certain groups that will breach the regulations more, and it sort of by definition, they're the ones that the Gardaí are going to be, in a pretty gentle way, I have to say, because the Gardaí have been very softly on this, implementing the law.
Well, your interactions with the Gardaí may be gentle and softly, but unfortunately, it is not the case that every community in our society has the same positive relationships with an Garda Síochána. And when those relationships are already strained, it is very important that they are clear as to how these enforcement rules are going to be put in place. And it is very important that we, as the national body for oversight on this issue, have a insight into who is being enforced. So we have seen the Gardaí publish data around age as it relates to the summons and fines that are being issued. But we want to see more. We want to see, for example, a breakdown along demographic lines of gender, ethnic lines, and also local area.
Yeah, but I mean, like, there's going to be more young people. That's the reality of it, because the reality is it's more likely to be young people who are having house parties or who are out with large groups.
I don't think we can make that assumption. And I also believe that I believe that we need to see what assumptions are being made. So it's not just about who's breaking the rules or breaking the laws. It's about how the Gardaí are enforcing it. So where are they putting checkpoints and how are they bringing these enforcement laws into practice?
OK, better scrutiny of laws in the Oireachtas. I mean, if anything, the opposition parties want to see stronger restrictions. I mean, they want everyone to go into a hotel who comes into the country for 2 weeks. Like, we can have greater scrutiny. It's not going to change anything.
I think it will change things. What scrutiny and oversight allows for is better planning and mitigation for disproportionate impacts of these laws and regulations. So, for example, if I can take a tangible example of what we've seen play out in terms of the education needs of children with particular needs. So if we had more nuanced making of that regulation at the earlier stages, we perhaps would have balanced better the particular risk to the development of these children and young people against the public health risk of classroom attendance. So we see it being played out later in the last few weeks, but actually that could have been better handled if we had done that scrutiny, if the Oireachtas had had the power to do that scrutiny earlier on. And they are a group that
would
have been
changed
able
anything,
to affect...
Sinead, though? Sorry, and sorry to cut across you, but would it have changed that? I mean, if you walked into the teaching unions and said, this is a breach of human rights of these children, they would have just said back and said, well, it's a breach of our human rights to put us in a classroom where we could get COVID.
But rather than dealing with this retrospectively, I think it is helpful when it is easier to plan for it. And we can also plan for compensatory measures. So besides how the laws and regulations are being implemented themselves, if we know that people are going to be disproportionately impacted, so, for example, people from disadvantaged, children from disadvantaged areas, children whose parents don't speak English, who are on the wrong side of the digital divide, those are also all groups who are perhaps have been less vocal in the debate over the last number of weeks. And who could have been catered for within those regulations and who could now be catered for in terms of, as we emerge from this pandemic, who has been disproportionately impacted by those restrictions. Because that is the case, is that if you are from one particular home, the remote schooling is going to impact you in an entirely different way to another home.
And I wouldn't argue,
but that's all
I wouldn't argue
for,
that
Shane.
Point. I wouldn't argue that point at all. I just wonder, will the regulations you're looking for change that? Will it change the public? I mean, the majority public mood at the moment is go for stricter lockdown. So, I mean, we can debate it. You can have regulations. I suppose my point is, in practice, it won't change anything.
But that's, I think, exactly the point you're making about the public wanting stricter regulations really plays to what we're putting out in this report around the clarity between regulations and laws.
Yeah, because I was going to ask you, blurred boundaries. I didn't quite understand what you meant by that. Explain that to us.
So what that means is that it has not always been made clear by the government what is advice and what is law. And that is really important. And we believe it's important on two particular levels. First and foremost, that the rule of law principles, and Ciara referred to these earlier in her comments, it's really important when we know how and when the force of the state is going to be brought against us in criminal sanctions. Prosecutions have far-reaching implications into the lives of anybody who is subjected to them. So if I am not clear as to what is a law and what is a regulation, that is not OK. And that is something that needs to be protected in emergency times.
Fair
and
point.
In any
Fair
time.
Point. Does it
and
not
then in
show,
addition
though,
to that,
Sinead?
If I could just finish this one point.
Okay.
Because in addition to that, we also believe that it strengthens the public health measures and the public health response from government. So whereas a year ago, or nearly a year ago now, when these lockdown measures were first brought into place, people were very respectful and compliant. But as we have seen this blurring happen again and again, specific examples including the cocooning and the travel restrictions, public trust has been eroded and compliance, we believe, has been impacted by that.
Final point, though. Does the blurred boundaries not show how benign the system actually is. In some countries, it would be, this is the law, take it or leave it. In here, it's actually, it's kind of advice in a lot of cases. That shows how benign our system actually is.
But
no?
The problem is that it is not clear when it is one or the other. And in countries like New Zealand, you mentioned other jurisdictions, it is publicly, or it is published very clearly what falls into the category of law, what falls into the category of guidance.
Including getting stuck in a hotel for 2 weeks without any natural light at some point. That's hardly in keeping with human rights either, though, is it?
What we're asking is for the government to make the distinction between what is law and what is guidance, and to communicate that distinction clearly and effectively to the population.
Okay, good to talk to Sinead Gibney, Chief Commissioner of the Irish Human Rights and Equality Commission. Thank you for talking to News Talk Breakfast this morning.